Scripture, and we read Mark chapter 5 tonight. Mark 5, the text will be verses 22 through 24, and then 35 through 43. We won't reread those verses because of the length, but they deal with Jesus raising the daughter of Jairus from the dead. That's verses 22 through 24 and 35 to 43. Let's begin at Mark 5, verse 1. Remember that Jesus had just stilled the storm in the Sea of Galilee, and now they have come to the other side of the sea. Verse 1, they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it told them, how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So far do we read the Word of God tonight. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus performed two amazing miracles. First, we read that he cast a devil out of a man in the country of the Gadarenes. Remember that Jesus had sailed with his disciples from Capernaum across the Sea of Galilee to the other side, and on the way there was that storm. Well, after Jesus stilled that storm, they did get to the other side of the sea, and when he got there, he met a man who was possessed with a devil. And miraculously, he cleansed that man of that unclean spirit. Now, we aren't going to focus on that amazing miracle of Jesus tonight because we already looked at one of Jesus' miracles in which he healed a man of devil possession. So we won't look at that one and this one in Mark 5. Understand that after Jesus healed this man of devil possession, he then went back across the sea to Capernaum. And when he got there, he then healed Jairus' daughter. He actually raised her from the dead. And that's the miracle that we are going to focus on tonight in the sermon. Before we do that, we need to understand what miracles are. Miracles are mighty, unusual works of God in creation, which point to Jesus' saving work. First, miracles are mighty, unusual works of God in the creation, powerful deeds performed by Him. But miracles are also signs. They're pictures that point to Jesus' work of salvation. They point to His work of bringing spiritual salvation. We talked about that a bit this morning, but now for a bit, we consider it a bit longer. Understand that when Jesus performed miracles, He often explained how that miracle pointed to His work of spiritual salvation. He demonstrated, showed how that was true. One instance of that is John chapter 9. In John 9, Jesus says that He is the light of the world. And that He is the light of the world means that He gives light, spiritual light to His people so that they can see the truth. He's the light of the world. After Jesus declared that, he went on to heal someone from physical blindness. Jesus was making a point there. His miracle of healing someone from physical blindness, that was a sign that pointed to his spiritual work of saving his people from spiritual blindness. That miracle pointed to his saving work. There are more instances of that. We brought up this morning John 6 and the idea of the bread of life and how Jesus, he fed the 5,000, and then he explained how he is actually the bread of life, meaning that he gives his people spiritual, heavenly, eternal life. Again, did a miracle, used that to point to a spiritual truth. Well, this miracle is the same. This miracle of raising Jairus' daughter, it also points to Jesus' work of spiritual salvation. We will see how that is true today. We will see Jesus' love. We will see his power. We will see his care for his church. Let's consider the text under the theme, Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter. First, the setting. Second, the miracle. And third, the care. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter, we begin with the setting. When Jesus came again to the other side of the sea, that is the side of Capernaum, that was the western side, when he got there, there was a man named Jairus. Jairus came to see him. There was also a multitude of people there, but Jairus was among them. Now, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Remember that synagogues were the places where the Jews would go to worship God on the Sabbath day. And those synagogues had a body of elders that watched over the lives of the members of that synagogue. And that body of elders, from that body was chosen a ruler who would be the one that would lead the services on the Sabbath. The ruler would be the one who read the scriptures and explained those scriptures. And often the ruler was a scribe, because the scribes especially were those who knew the Old Testament, were in them all the time as they copied them. So often scribes were the rulers. Now Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one of those religious leaders of the Jews, likely a scribe. And Jairus' daughter was very sick. This one that met Jesus, this ruler of the synagogue, had one daughter, 12 years old, about the age of a sixth grader, very sick. And so sick that she was actually at the point of death. That's what Jairus tells Jesus in verse 23. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. So it was evident that the doctors of that day, the physicians, could not do anything to help her at this point. She was going to die. Well, when Jairus received the news that Jesus was in town, he hurried to meet him. He thought, I need Jesus. I need him to heal my daughter. He's my only hope left. And Jairus, we read, fell at Jesus' feet, according to verse 23. He fell at Jesus' feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. That word besought shows you the urgency. That's what it means. He urged Jesus to come with him. My little daughter is dying. Understand, too, these words of Jairus show that he had faith in Jesus. He trusted that Jesus could heal her. Look at the words again, verse 23. come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus, just put your hands on her, and she will live. I believe it. Jairus' faith is quite remarkable when you consider that he was a religious leader of the Jews. The religious leaders of the Jews, most of them could not stand Jesus. Jesus was always pointing out their sins. They hated that. Jesus was becoming more and more popular among the people. They were turning to him with their religious questions and not so much to them. They hated that. They hated Jesus. But Jairus here shows that he believed Jesus could help. True, the condition of Jairus' daughter had taken a turn for the worst. There really were no other options at that point. Yet, Jairus did go to Jesus and beg. He asked and pleaded for help. And we too ought to trust in Jesus for salvation from spiritual disease, salvation from sin. He too is our only hope, as we saw this morning, we see again tonight. Jairus had faith, but his very words indicate that there were limitations of his faith. You notice that Jairus asked Jesus to come with him to his house and lay hands upon his daughter. The idea there we need to see is Jairus thought Jesus had to come with him and touch his daughter to heal his daughter. That's important. You may remember in the book of Luke how there was a Roman centurion that believed Jesus could heal his servant from far away just by speaking. He said, "Jesus, just speak a word from right where you are and you'll heal my servant." Jairus did not have that kind of faith. Apparently, Jairus did not have such confidence. He asked Jesus to come with him. But nonetheless, he did have faith. Well, Jesus responded to Jairus' request by beginning to go with him towards Jairus' home. But there was a delay. There was a delay because there was a woman that touched Jesus in the midst of the crowd. Jesus all of a sudden felt that touch in the midst of all these people that were around him. He felt a touch. And it was the woman that had an issue of blood, according to verse 25. She had touched Jesus as one who was desperate for help. And she believed that if she could just touch him, she would be healed of her sickness. And when she touched Jesus' garment, Jesus did heal her. And Jesus knew that he had healed her. So he turned and he said, "Who touched me?" Well, his disciples said, "Master, there's a multitude of people around you. And you asked who touched me?" Jesus knew someone had touched him, that he had healed her. He knew that. He asked this question. He turned about and he saw that woman. He saw her and she fell at his feet and we read that she told Jesus everything. She saw she had been healed and she told him all. And Jesus then spoke back to her about his healing work and about her faith, and there was conversation. Now think during this whole time about Jairus. He's sitting there and there's all this conversation going on back and forth between Jesus and this woman, and Jairus is thinking the whole time, "Jesus, we've got to get going. We've got to get to my house so that my daughter might be healed." You can imagine that there may have been times, certainly are times sometimes in our lives where we got to get somewhere. We think we got to get to this or that place, but the person we are with just keeps talking and keeps talking. We're thinking we got to get there. We got to get there. That was Jairus. Jairus, every moment must have been precious. At this point still, we can tell from the narrative, Jairus was not thinking of the possibility that Jesus would raise his daughter from the dead. And Jairus' worst fears that his daughter would die before they got there, his worst fears were soon realized because a servant came from his house and said, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Verse 35, he says, why trouble thou the master any further? The man basically said there's no reason for Jesus, the master, to come any further. Jairus, your daughter is dead. You might as well let Jesus go. Jairus' heart must have sunk. His daughter was dead. They didn't make it. And Jesus, knowing what Jairus was thinking, knowing that anguish within, knowing that fear that he had, Jesus said to him, verse 36, Jairus, don't fear, do not be afraid, just believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Jesus was calling Jairus to trust in him. Jairus, believe that I have the power to heal your daughter. Believe that I have the power to raise her from the dead. Believe that I have the power over death. Believe it. Jesus and his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, as well as Jairus, they continued on to the home of Jairus. When they arrived, they could hear the wailing, hear all the crying, according to verse 38. The house was filled with people crying about Jairus' daughter's death. Likely Jairus' family was there, his wife, his siblings maybe even his own mom and dad were there, crying. But we also know that at this time in history, there were often hired mourners. There were people that the family would hire to cry when their loved one died. It's very likely there were hired mourners there as well, and we'll see more about that in a little bit. Now, according to verse 39, when Jesus came into the house, he saw all the people crying, and he said, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. He said, the girl is not dead, but she's sleeping. Now, there is a sense in which that daughter was dead. The servant in verse 35 came to Jairus and said, thy daughter is dead. There was a sense in which she had died, that is, her body had been separated from her soul. But there's also a sense in which Jairus' daughter had not died. There was a sense in which she was sleeping. Ordinarily, the soul of a child of God passes at the moment of death into a state of conscious glory in heaven. In Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said to the thief at the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So ordinarily, the child of God goes immediately to heaven in their soul. However, this girl's soul did not pass into heaven when she died. There must have been provided for her a state of soul sleep. And we believe that because we do not think that the God who loves his people would bring that girl into the state of perfection in her soul and then have her come back to this sin-cursed earth. We do not think that the loving God would do that with his child. By using the word sleep here, Jesus was emphasizing that this girl was about to be raised up. He was emphasizing that there was going to be a reawakening. There was going to be a resurrection. But when Jesus said, this girl is not dead but only sleepeth, we read in verse 40 that the multitude, or not the multitude, but the mourners there laughed Jesus to scorn. That is, they mockingly laughed at him. They thought and they probably said, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? We have seen her. She's dead. Her heart is not beating. Her soul has departed from her body. It's obvious. And you come in here and you think that you can tell us, without even seeing the girl, that she's not dead? They laughed him to scorn. Now that reaction of laughing and mockery, that seems to indicate that these people were those hired mourners. We don't think that the family of Jairus, who's mourning over the loss of their loved one, would be mockingly laughing at Jesus at this particular time, this difficult time. Now Jesus made no attempt, understand, he made no attempt to argue his point to those mourners that were laughing at him. But what he did do is he put those mourners out of the house, and only the parents, Jairus and his wife, and his disciples, those three close disciples, were allowed to stay in the house. Jesus was going to perform this miracle in private. And really, he emphasizes this whole event was to be kept private. Verse 43 says, "He charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." So why did Jesus perform this miracle in private? Why did he put those people out instead of having them watch him do this amazing work? We have to ask that question, especially in light of how Jesus told the man he healed from devil possession earlier in Mark 5. He told that man, according to verse 18, to go and tell a lot of people about what Jesus had just done. So why the difference here? Why do this miracle in private? Understand that Jesus wanted the people not to think of him first as one who raised people from the dead physically, but wanted them first to think of him as one who raised his people from the dead spiritually. At this point, many were not understanding that his work of raising someone from the dead pointed to his work of raising his people spiritually. They were so focused on the physical. So Jesus did this work here of raising this girl in private. And also understand this, understand that Jesus wanted to keep this miracle private because it was not his time to die yet. Later on, Jesus healed or raised Lazarus from the dead. And many people saw it. And the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, became afraid that lots of people were going to believe in Jesus because of that miracle. So they became very busy in their plots to kill Jesus. And soon after that raising of Lazarus from the dead, they did kill Jesus. They did put him on the cross. Jesus, knowing that reaction of the Jews to this amazing miracle of raising from the dead, and Jesus knowing that it wasn't his time to die yet, he did this miracle in private. He didn't do it in front of a multitude of people. Now, Jesus, after putting those people out of the house, he performed the miracle. He performed the miracle. He entered into the room where that girl was lying. He took her hand and he said, "Talitha kumi," meaning, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Talitha kumi is Aramaic. That's a language that's very similar to Hebrew. Jesus said to that girl, "Arise!" And she, who was dead, arose. She arose, and it wasn't like she had to keep lying in bed for a time to get strength again. It wasn't like 3 or 4 days later, finally she was able to have enough strength to get up and walk. No, Jesus said, "Arise!" And she got up and she walked right away. That's power. That's the power of Jesus, the Son of God. And the parents and the disciples, they were amazed. Jesus clearly showed he has divine power. No man could do that. Only God can, and Jesus did it. He showed here he has the power over death. After healing the girl, Jesus gave a couple commands. That's verse 43. He charged them straitly that no man should know it. Remember that Jesus wanted the people to be focused on the spiritual salvation that he brought. Then there's another command. It says he commanded that something should be given her to eat. Remember that. This miracle in which Jesus showed his power over death, it was significant. It was significant for us for two reasons. First, this miracle was significant because it shows very clearly Jesus' power to raise his people spiritually from the dead. That miracle of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter physically from the dead, it points to his power to raise us up spiritually from the dead. Understand that miracle that he does for us and in us. Understand that miracle tonight. Apart from Christ, we are dead spiritually. Dead. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 5, both speak very clearly, saying we are dead in trespasses and sins as we are apart from Christ. Dead. To be dead in sin means that you cannot do any good and you do not want to. You cannot and you do not want to believe in Jesus. You cannot and you do not want to serve God. Dead in sin. Understand that Jairus' daughter's death was a picture of what we are like spiritually. A physically dead person like Jairus' daughter cannot move an inch. We, as we are of ourselves, cannot move an inch towards God. Spiritually, we can't. See that picture. Understand that natural man does not have a free will. The idea of a free will is that natural man can choose to obey God or can choose not to obey God. He has a free will. But natural man, that is, man as he is without Christ, does not have a free will. He cannot choose to obey God. Oh, he can make many choices. But he always chooses sin. He does everything in sin. His will is in bondage to sin. It's not free. Natural man does not have free will. He's dead. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Without Christ, all we can do is sin. All we want to do is sin. And we are separated from God and His fellowship. We do not know Christ. We feel far from God. And we remain dead forever if we are not delivered. It's not like this death goes on for a little bit and then ends someday. No. Without Christ, we remain dead in sin forever. We go on and on in life, dead in sin and separated from God and His fellowship. And when this life ends, death is just a passageway to hell where one continues to experience separation from God, but then in its fullness. Let that sink in. Really understand what it means to be dead in sin tonight and see that very personally. That's what we are naturally without Christ. Dead in sin forever. Now the miracle. Christ's work of raising up the daughter of Jairus physically, it points to his work of raising us up spiritually from the dead. Christ does that. Ephesians 2 verse 1 speaks of it. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You hath He quickened, that is, you hath He given life who were dead in trespasses and sins. As the risen Lord who lives, Jesus raises us up spiritually from the dead. He implants spiritual life in us so that we are able to believe in Jesus, able to serve God, and we want to. Think about that tonight. We believe, and we believe only because we have been raised spiritually from the dead by Jesus Christ. How does He do that? Well, He implants that spiritual life in us by His Holy Spirit. He implants that spiritual life in us by His Spirit so we are able to believe and serve God. He implants that life in us by His Spirit and brings us to experience this consciously through the Word. Jesus, by His voice, raised up Jairus from the dead. He raised her up by His Word. Well, Jesus, by His Word, raises us up consciously to new life. He calls us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, bringing us to believe in Jesus Christ and know that we have life in Him. Wonderful. Raises us to conscious life by His voice. Understand, He has raised us up spiritually. He has done this. Man did not help Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus did not employ the help of Peter to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus did that work. And Jesus alone, does the work of raising us up spiritually from the dead. Praise be to the Savior tonight. We might think, how can it be, though, that I, who am a sinner, can be given that spiritual life? I am a sinner. Do not I have to remain dead in sin forever? We have to remember Christ's work at the cross then, too. If we were unrighteous before God, then we would have to be punished. We would be guilty sinners and would have to be punished with death, spiritual death forever. But remember the cross. Jesus went to the cross and paid for all of our sins so that our guilt is gone. Because of that, we have the right to be given spiritual life then. Praise be to our Savior for going to the cross for us and taking away our sins. Christ's work of raising Jairus' daughter points to His amazing work of raising us spiritually from the dead. May, again, that be very, very personal to us tonight. Really think about what that means for you. We believe in Jesus. We seek to be here tonight. We want to be here and want to be praising Him because He has raised us from the dead spiritually. Naturally, we wouldn't believe in Him. We wouldn't care about Him, but we do believe because He has raised us from the dead spiritually. Naturally, we wouldn't want to be here. We wouldn't be anywhere else but here. But Jesus has raised us from the dead spiritually. Praise Him tonight. His raising of Jairus' daughter points us to that work of spiritual resurrection that He has done within us, that great miracle. Praise the Savior. Now, Jesus commanded Jairus' daughter in verse 43, His command telling the parents to give her something to eat, that shows what we are to do now as those who have been regenerated. They were to feed Jairus' daughter so that she might be built up in strength. Well, Jesus commands that we should go to be fed and strengthened spiritually as those who have been regenerated. He says, go to be fed spiritually by the word each week. That's your spiritual food and drink, the preaching of the word. You need it. We need that spiritual food and drink because we are on a battlefield where the devil tries to destroy us. He's trying to destroy us all the time. May we come here then to be fed spiritually each week, to be built up in our trust in Jesus alone for our salvation, to be built up in a desire to serve God from the heart. Come here to be fed and strengthened. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter points to his spiritual raising of us from the dead, but it points to something else as well. It also points to his work of raising our human bodies from the grave at his return. That work of raising Jairus' daughter from the dead points to his work of raising us up at the end from the dead. Jesus will do that. John 5, verses 28 through 29 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. If we die before the Lord returns, our soul will be in heaven and our body will be in the grave. And if the wicked unbeliever dies before Christ returns, their soul will be in hell and their body will be in the grave. At the last day, Christ will raise the bodies of all men. All men. And that includes even those who have had their bodies mutilated in war. We talked about this in catechism a few weeks ago, kids, that even they will have their bodies raised because Jesus, the ruler of all, he controls everything and so preserves the bodies of every man that he will be able to raise even those mutilated bodies from the grave. At the last day, Christ will raise the bodies of all men by speaking. Notice that too. In John 5, verse 28, it says that the people in the graves will hear his voice and shall come forth. What a picture then his raising of Jairus' daughter was. He said to her, Talitha Kumi, he said to her, girl, arise. And at the last day, think of that, Jesus coming upon the clouds of glory and saying, arise, and the bodies of all men coming forth from the grave. A miracle. Jesus will raise our bodies from the grave and he will bring us to live with him in the new heavens and new earth, in body and in soul. The bodies of the wicked, unbelievers, they will be joined to their souls as well, and they will go down to hell, but the bodies of believers will be raised, joined to their souls, and they will be taken to the new heavens and new earth. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wonderful. The one who had the power to raise Jairus' daughter's body from the grave, he too has the power to raise us from the grave at the last day, and he will. And he will bring us to glory in heaven as he has promised us in his word. And those bodies will be perfect. Perfect. When Jairus' daughter, when her body was raised, her body was not raised in incorruption. You see, Jairus' daughter, she aged. She got older. She got sick again and she died. That resurrection that she received was not the final resurrection. But at the final resurrection, when Jesus returns, he will raise our bodies incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, both say that He will raise our bodies incorruptible, and that's wonderful. This body that we have now is corruptible. This body sins, and this body suffers the effects of sin. That is, this body gets sick. This body dies. When Jesus returns, though, and the final resurrection occurs, this body we have will be raised incorruptible. And that means that this body will not be able to be corrupted. It will not ever sin, but will only perfectly glorify God all the time. This body will not suffer the effects of sin. You think of cancer. You think of the toll that takes on a body. You think of the other diseases and difficulties that we face. That's all gone. This body will be raised in incorruption, free from all the effects of sin. Wonderful. And when our bodies are raised, we will experience the fullness of fellowship with God. That's why this is so important. That our bodies be raised is so important. Then we will experience the fullness of fellowship with God. Living in heaven in our souls will be wonderful. And that will happen when we die. We will go up to heaven in our souls. But without our bodies, we will not be experiencing the fullness of life with God. God formed us body and soul together. We are fashioned by God to enjoy life with Him in body and soul. So think of it. The one who has died, his soul is in heaven, and he's enjoying conscious salvation, conscious life with God there. But in his body, he's not. His body is still in the grave. He's not experiencing life with God in his body. And so we need the resurrection. We need our bodies to be joined to our souls in heaven so that we might experience that fullness of life with God. And we will. We will. In body and soul, we will enjoy communion with Him forever. Jesus raised Jairus from the grave, a picture of how He will raise our bodies from the grave one day, and we will go to heavenly glory in body and soul forever. Think about that when you think of his raising of Jairus, his daughter, from the grave. And so hearing about that picture of the resurrection at the end, Jesus is saying to us tonight too, do not be afraid. Just believe. We can become afraid of death at some times. And weakness. Especially when we are getting sick or getting older, or when we have cancer, we can think, become kind of scared of it all. What will happen? What will it be like? What will it feel like? Kids, that can happen for us too. Maybe when a loved one is sick, maybe when grandpa is sick or somebody else that we know closely is sick, we can think, what's going to happen to them? What will happen to their bodies? Well, Jesus is saying to us tonight in His Word exactly what He said to Jairus when Jairus heard that his daughter was dead. Jesus says to us, do not be afraid, just believe. At your deathbed, do not be afraid, only believe. Jesus says, I was able to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead by my word. Well, I will also raise you and your loved one in Christ from the dead by my word. I will come upon the clouds of glory and I will say, arise, and you will be raised from the grave in your body. Your body will join your soul and go to be with me forever. Jesus says that to us tonight. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Have comfort in that tonight. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter here in the last place shows his great comfort or his great care for his people. First, recognize that in this event of raising Jairus' daughter, Jesus showed spiritual care for Jairus and his family. He didn't hurry to get to Jairus' house before his daughter died. He waited. He was delayed. And that was all part of his perfect plan. He waited until after Jairus' daughter died for Jairus' good and for his family's good. Jairus needed to see Jesus' power more clearly. He needed to learn to trust in Jesus more. Remember that Jairus thought Jesus had to come with him to his house to heal his daughter. And Jairus was not even thinking of the possibility of Jesus raising his daughter from the dead. Jairus needed to have his faith in Jesus Christ strengthened, built up. Jesus knew that. Also, Jesus waited to go to Jairus's until after his daughter died, so that he might point Jairus to certain spiritual truths as well and increase his faith in that way. In his raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, Jesus put a picture of regeneration right in front of Jairus and his wife. He showed so clearly right before them that he has the power over death, including spiritual death. Showed them that right before their eyes for their spiritual good. And Jesus, in raising Jairus' daughter, also showed that he has the power to raise us up at the last day. He showed that so clearly right in front of Jairus and his wife. So Jesus had waited so that he could raise her from the dead, all for the good of Jairus and his family, for their spiritual good. Think about the love and care of our Savior, and Jesus does the same with us. His raising of Jairus' daughter also shows care for us, because this history serves to increase our faith in Jesus. He uses this event to show us that he has power to raise us up at the end, increasing our faith in him then. Again, we can become afraid. But Jesus so worked this whole event of raising Jairus' daughter from the dead for our good. He's saying to us tonight, don't be afraid. Believe. Trust in me. He's giving us that powerful reminder tonight. He so controlled all events so long ago so that he might give us that wonderful reminder, reminding us that he has the power over death. He will raise us at the end. There's nothing to fear. We will live with him forever in body and soul. So what a loving Savior we have who controlled an event so long ago so that he might point us to a wonderful truth, the truth of the resurrection, and give us comfort. Praise the Savior for that. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we stand in awe before thee of thy love and thy grace and thy power. Thou art the God. By thy Son, Jesus Christ, raises us from the dead spiritually, has raised us so that we believe and we want to be here. Thou art the God who by thy Son, Jesus Christ, will raise us up at the last day, so that we will live with thee forever in body and soul. And thou didst so control historical events and this event of the raising of Jairus' daughter so that we might be pointed to those wonderful truths tonight and be comforted. Lord, we praise thee. We thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.